is true culinary. This is what's behind the scenes. Cooking in the kitchen, that big money where we eat all
fresh dishes. Stories from the kitchen.
Kitchen rolls, throwing cutters in broadcast form.
Who's Hungry Baby? Episode 90. That's right, 90 of the Rags Dishes podcast. Here with the classic D-Cot. What up, D-Cot?
What's up, buddy?
And I feel like we got to, like, start when people are on the show, like, making it faster. I'm already taking too much time. Nico Chase, welcome to the show, my dude.
What up,
how
what
are you
up,
doing?
Thank
I feel
you
like we need
me.
To, like,
Thank
be, like,
me.
You know.
Dude, take it easy.
I feel like we take too long, and they're sitting there, and they're like, oh, like, I don't want to be quiet.
All right, well, there has to be some sort of happy medium, because this is going so quickly.
Yeah, that was way too fast. Anyway, Nico Chase, probably one of the coolest names of all time. You sound like a GTA character.
Thank you. I've been told that. Cause
Nico Bellic. Yeah.
Exactly.
But, like, Nico Chase is actually a better name than that.
Thank you. Is that you guys singing at the beginning?
Nah.
No? Damn.
That's, I don't know if we've even shouted him out, but that's Mark Dillon.
Shouts out Mark Dillon.
Yeah. We probably should. Like,
I grew up with him. He's a music teacher in one of the boroughs
of
New
York.
United
States.
No. One of the boroughs of New York City. I forget which one he works in. And, he makes music as well. And I was like, yo, this is what I want.
I need some new metal shit.
I got you. Yeah, new metal. That's what you think that sounds like?
Well, you know.
It's more like Newfound Glory or something.
I think I was like, I want something catchy and grungy. I think that's all I said.
That's pretty on the nose for that.
Yeah, I mean,
but you're rapping
song.
On it, though, so I feel like it's kind of new metal.
Yeah, it's like got some S.A. Martinez to it.
Okay.
It's got some 311. Okay.
Exactly. It's 311 also.
It
today.
Is pretty 311. Oh, yeah. Whoa.
It's March 11th.
Dude.
Whoa.
So episode 90, I got some like things to say real quick.
Okay.
First of all, if you dial plus 90, that's the code to internationally direct the country of Turkey.
Okay, wait. I think you're just saying that's Turkey's country code is 90?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so
let's go.
In Major League Baseball, the bases are 90 feet apart.
Okay.
And Interstate 90 runs from Washington to Massachusetts.
That's big facts.
Those are big 90s right there. Anyway.
No Julius Peppers.
I almost brought, I was like, I don't know if it's enough. If I guess it was.
Bro, you brought bro it up. Not only is that man
great name.
A Hall of Fame. Is he not in the NFL Hall of Fame yet? He's about to be a Hall of Fame.
Who cares?
Anyway, what I'm saying is he played both college football and college basketball at North Carolina for the Tar Heels. Where it's like he's not only went to the NFL, but he started for the Tar Heels basketball team. Like, you gotta be good to do that. And he was like 6'8", 300 pounds, dunking like a savage. Fucking love Julius Peppers.
Okay. Shout out Julius Peppers.
Thank you. Shout out Julius Peppers.
Thank yeah. you. So, Nico.
Yeah.
I think from the first time I ever met you, I was like, this motherfucker would be great on the podcast.
I think you told me that like the first time we met.
Yeah, probably. Worked a little block party together, right?
Was that the first time? Yeah, that shit was fucking so weird. We were in Warwick.
Speak on this block party. Tell us more.
Was it in Warwick or
it
Cranston?
It was in Warwick or Cranston, one of the two.
What's the
and it was like for this guy that grew a bunch of weed or some shit, but there was also like helicopters there and stuff because we were in Warwick. Like,
well, and like weed's like, legal now, so it's like
yeah,
chill.
And in Rhode Island, the cops were the first people to get in on the business.
Yeah, that's true. The Slater Center.
Yeah, and Greenleaf too. Real ones know what I'm talking about. Yep.
Damn.
Fuck the police, including the dispensaries, bro.
Including the dispensaries. But it
all
was
cops
weird.
Are bastards.
They had like a blow up slide and stuff. And like,
it was like a pretty generic block party, but just like at the end of the street, there were like, was it just us and the guy making ices? Is that it?
Yeah.
Just two little food trucks.
Mm. What umbrella were you folks cooking under?
Umbrella.
I knew that phrase. Who were you cooking for?
Masa
Taqueria. R.I.P.
We were whipping some fucking tacos.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, it was great.
It was mostly just Nico doing things and me being like, how can I help? And then taking people's orders, maybe. But
so is this episode the official Masa Taqueria postmortem? Is that what's happening here?
I mean, pretty much. I mean, what was your title? Sous chef?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're like pretty much in charge of Masa Taqueria.
Yeah.
We don't have to get there yet, though. I mean, that's just, you know, where we are at with this episode on episode 311.
We're just establishing the vibe, dude. Yeah. We're coming original.
Okay.
All right. Here we are. Move on.
Anyway, Nico, I know you worked at some other places. How'd you, like, get into cooking?
My first job, I think I was, like, 16 or 17. It was, like, high school, like, need money for weed type job. Mm-hmm. And I was working at this pizza spot on the east side, Hope Street Pizza. And, like, that place was absolutely fucking insane.
Yeah. What sense?
The owners were just absolutely nuts. They were, like, Greek people are insane.
Okay.
Are either of you Greek?
No.
No? Okay, I'll say it. Greek people are the fucking worst.
Oh, my God.
Every single Greek man is a fucking sexual pervert deviant.
Oh, my God.
They're all so fucking racist.
Wow.
Every single one of the Greek people that I met there, like, my boss was just this fucking, like, 5 foot nothing Greek dude. He was, like, 5 foot tall, like, 4 feet wide, like, big boxy man. Or small boxy man, rather. And he would just get fucking wine drunk every day.
Nice.
Come in and yell at us and then go and, like, sexually harass the fucking customers.
Really?
The customers. Like, he would go up to women and be like, you know, I'm going to do the Greek, like, kiss on the cheek. And then he would start kissing them on the neck because he was.
Oh, man.
Oof. That's big gross.
But, and wait, so was this not just, like, a pizza place? It was just called Hope Street Pizza?
So it was a pizza bar and grill type spot. Like,
okay, so it's like kind of a restaurant?
Yeah, it was kind of a restaurant. They had their menu was insane. They had pizza and subs and
pasta and
pasta and steak tips and salads and
Greek food.
Yeah, fucking Greek food. Ugh. Sorry. Christ. This place
damn, bro.
And this
personal vendetta against Greece right here.
Yeah, which is a good thing that the country code is Turkey, because
if it was Greece, it would
just walked out.
Yeah, because Turkey and Greece are, like, still upset at each other over, like, Constantinople.
Dude, that's like Persia versus Athens shit.
No, like, they're still mad about that shit. They have, like, a military conscription because they think one day they're gonna retake Constantinople. Like, that's what my boss, like, would say to me. And, like, his go-to...
Who knows?
His go-to was, like, Gamoto Christosu Malaka, which was, like, anytime we did anything he didn't, like, he would tell us to go fuck our Christs. Like, fuck our Jesuses. Mm. And he would call us wankers.
He'd call you wankers?
Yeah, Malaka. That was, like, the go-to. Like, Elada Malaka would be, like, what are you doing, jerk off? Mm. And he would get wine drunk and scream and like
so
they
you,
were.
Did you so from pizza
this?
There?
So from this, you've extrapolated.
You're like, I love this shit.
That. The entire Greek people are all this.
Okay,
so, I mean, I didn't know the Quimpo Bros were like this.
His whole family was like really nuts and like so racist and like there'd be it's other Greek people that would come work there and there was this like one Greek dude who was like cool like he was like an like. Back in Greece, I was anarchist and we would fight the cops every weekend. And like, I'd be like, that's fucking cool. And then he ended up being like a fucking sexual predator. He was terrible.
Yeah, that's why he was fighting with cops. They were trying to arrest him. For
Yeah, it wasn't on political shit. Yeah.
I used to fight the cops every weekend.
Ugh. Chris Hansen, just fighting Chris Hansen every weekend. But yeah, everyone that worked there was crazy. There were these little dudes that. Like worked in the back
what
that was
little
like
little dudes like elves.
No, nah, they were both like also five like they were maybe under 5 foot like just really short guys.
Short kings.
Yeah, two real short kings that like I'd walk by them and they'd try to like put their fingers in my butt.
Mm.
Damn.
Yeah, that place was crazy. And like the craziest part is I worked there for guess how long?
2 years.
4 years of my life I spent.
What ages?
From, I guess, 17 to 21. Because, I mean, like, I when I started working there, I was just, like, you know, cashier and doing stuff, like, for, you know, like, weed money and pizza money. And then, like, I ended up in a situation where I had to, like, live on my own and, like, pay rent at like 17. Mm-hmm. And so then I just started working there full time while I was going to school and just like kept doing that. And then like 4 years later, I was like, this is insane. I can like go somewhere else actually.
Dude, when it's like your one of your first jobs, you have that moment where you're like, oh, I can go somewhere else. Like, I don't have to do this, but it's like.
Or when you're in an abusive relationship.
I was kind of getting there. Yeah, it's like,
finally, you're like, this is all I've have known. To be here. I can, you know, go exactly. elsewhere.
It's like that. I think you should leave sketch. Wait, I can just leave.
So 4 fucking years. Yeah, I mean, 4 also, years. You know, when you're young like that, you don't really like understand what a toxic like work environment.
That's what I'm saying. It's like this is all I've known, so it takes you a long time to realize, oh, this isn't like okay or not how it's supposed to go.
That's gnarly. Pardon me. My apologies.
It was great. It was lovely.
So when you quit, was it like a big deal?
Yeah, I like quit like on the spot, like I gave my 2 weeks, but like in the middle of a rush, my boss was like yelling at me, like wine drunk like, again, and I was like, Saki, in 2 weeks you're gonna have, and I worked like 50 hours there, like
yeah, you were a roster player,
and yeah, like by the time I was 18, I like would close there, and so. After 10 o'clock, I'd be the only person in the kitchen until 1 or 2 a.m., and then there'd be a bartender. But they wouldn't let me cut the menu down at all, and then we got Grubhub a certain point. And so it'd be like fucking 12:30 at night, like 15 minutes before I'm going to close the kitchen.
You're getting ripped and I'd get steak
tip dinner, and like you got pizzas in the oven, and people are calling, and you're by yourself, and the bartender's like... I need you to go change a keg downstairs because you were also getting tipped out by the bartender to bar back. But no, I was just like getting fucked up and staying there late by myself and like making okay money. So it worked for a while, but then I was like, nope, this sucks.
I'm trying to think of any places let me really like underage drink. I mean, Crazy Burger did, but I was like 19.
Well, so we didn't have a liquor license.
Yeah, but like, it's not like the owner's wife didn't buy me alcohol.
Yeah, but she's like, not, you know, checking ID. She just sees you and goes, oh, he's probably of age. Or like, I don't care.
Yeah.
She wanted to be popular. But, you know, I don't think I've ever worked at a place that had its liquor license that would be like, yeah, that's cool. Like, because it's like, that shit's a big deal.
Yeah, I don't think I ever worked in a place
The best you could do would be like a rogue employee that like a coworker that's like, let me slide you something.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, as far as being allowed to have, like, a shifty, like, I feel like that'd be nuts.
Yeah, folks were, like, on crack and shit. Like, it was nuts. It was, a lot of crazy things happened. Like, there were some things that I wasn't there for, but I heard about. Like, one time a dude threw a pizza knife at another guy.
Like the machete.
The sword, the one for cutting
the whole pies.
Yeah,
those things are sick.
They rock so nice, dude. When you just go, ka-choom, ka-choom, ka-choom. Oh, so good. It's so satisfying.
One time, I guess there was a fight there, and like one guy like scooped oil out of the fryer and threw it onto another guy.
Dude, that is like
that's fucking.
You
savage.
Know, like that's. Next, that's like assault. That's like, okay, we're fighting to the death now.
Yeah,
I didn't realize this was that serious. Like,
I just think
you're gonna turn me into Freddy Krueger.
I just think of like when me and Deacott used to work together, it would be like that, but it was just like mustard and fucking white pepper. Yeah, and it was, shit like
dude,
that.
Dude, you're not gonna fucking maim somebody like that. Is psychotic. Yeah,
no, it was like that guy like definitely got fired. I don't like, think you need the to cops go to jail. Involved, cause, like, I'm pretty sure the folks were like, not super documented.
Hot oil at someone. That's
go to jail, sir.
That is so fucked. It's like, bro, the stakes are not that high. Chill.
No, like the way I found out about it was because I would like I pat the dude on the back because he still worked there, and I would like pat him on the back, and he'd like cringe in pain because he has like permanent nerve damage. From getting fucking, Christ. Like, fourth-degree burns.
It's fucking brutal.
So, I know you guys ask, like, the most brutal... Like, that's the most brutal one that I know about, at least.
But you weren't... That
I wasn't there for that. I've only... Yeah. It happened, but, like, damn. A year or two before I worked there. Was.
That's all I want to know.
Just, like, a... Like, they said a pot full. Like, a small pot.
Like, yeah, okay. You know how people have that little one-handle so pot?
It's probably, like, 4 quarts.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's like, yeah, bro.
Maybe a little less. four quarts of hot oil. Fuck that.
Yeah, fuck.
I could handle a cup.
So yeah.
all right, let's do this.
Folks are throwing around like the N word. Like, oh, they're mad racist, mad homophobic.
What year is this?
This is like 2017. Not that it's
Not that it was ever okay.
This is like it's 2015 just, through like 2019.
Did you expect him to say 1971 or something?
Well, there's different levels of how shook I would be.
Yeah. You
know? No, like way too late for them to do that.
If the year starts with a two, I mean, come on.
All right, these motherfuckers were Greek, right? And they would speak Greek to each other all the time.
We've established their nationality, okay?
Hold on, It's important to what I'm saying.
I guess.
They would get mad at the Latino dudes for speaking Spanish to each other and got upset about that and be like, this is America, we speak English here. And it's like, yo, you speak Greek every day. And they would say that shit to me because
he'd
like,
be like, yeah, but I'm white. I'm European.
They'd say that shit to me because I'm white, but like my mom is Ecuadorian. Like we spoke Spanish in the house. Like, yeah. And I'd be like, yo, you keep forgetting this, but like you really got to stop talking shit about like people for speaking Spanish to me. That's crazy. But yeah, I worked there for 4 years because I was dumb. And then I worked at Plant City for 2 years.
How was that?
So when you were like 18, you started at Plant City?
No, I like started 21? When I was like, yeah, I think I started working there when I was like 20. And then I turned 21 like shortly after I started working there. Plant City was like pretty good. Shouts out to Trent.
Pretty good. Yeah, shout out Trent.
Yeah, I listened to his episode as like part of my research for coming on.
Nice.
Good storyteller.
Yeah. Great guy. I know he said he'd like praised me so many times during that. I have to shout him out.
Yeah, he loved it.
Yeah.
I love Trent. Okay. Continuing.
So how'd you get the job there?
I got the job there because I just went and applied. And because I think one of the bartenders or something had started working there and like had brought a couple of the people over who were working there. And like they were talking about it being pretty cool. So I pulled up and I'll say about working there, it was great working for the chef. He very disciplined and like, you know, like had good standards and like definitely taught me a lot and shit. Like really fucking busy spot. He could steer the ship well. He was a little aggressive, but like I would just like not fuck up and then he wouldn't yell at me.
Nice.
Ideally. The one time he like threatened to fire me was because my biggest issue when it's really, really busy is I can't turn off like making little jokes and whatnot. And
yeah.
Or like,
yeah, to
you
get
know,
you through. You gotta,
get me, gotta to get me through. And so one time this guy dropped he poured up the oil, he like changed the oil in the fryolator. But he forgot to close the valve.
Oh, honey.
And
so,
so
a bunch of fresh oil was like dumped onto the floor.
On the floor, yeah, exactly. Right, a whole container. And I just said, hey man, next time, you know, say oil do better or some shit like that.
Wow.
Oil try my best next time. That's all you have
to say.
If
I was him, I would be mad, not because you were making fun of me, but just because of joke.
And the chef heard me say that because we were all cleaning it up. And he was like, we're going to be fucking cleaning here for the next 45 minutes. And you're making fucking jokes. Like, next person who fucking smiles is fucking fired.
That's dumb. Come on.
We were all on our fucking hands and knees. But like, I think like a rite of passage at Plant City when I was working there was like to tell me to shut the fuck up on the line.
Yeah.
When it was really busy. Because like,
was I that person?
No, I feel like people were telling you to shut
that's
the fuck up.
That's what I'm saying. Was I that person that was getting to?
Yeah.
I think like, you're right.
Not by me. I was not like. No, official enough to be yelling at you.
I was a habitual line stepper.
Oh my God. I love that shit.
Be really busy and I'd be like, yo, you cheddar not.
So you were just doing weak puns.
Weak ass puns.
But
all
that's
the time.
Like the best strategy because you can't like help but laugh and be like, that was so silly. Right. It has to cut the tension.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
So but great sometimes strategy. People are trying to focus in that messes with their focus, apparently.
I've gotten really good at doing it just with my eyes. Just like looking at one of my coworkers and being like this.
Just talking shit with a look. It's pretty good.
And no one knows what's going on because it's like I didn't say anything. So.
Yeah.
But Plant City, the Enterprise, is sinister.
Oh, what? Like, would you want to speak on that?
Yeah, I mean, when it opened, it was opened by this guy Matthew Kenny, who is like along with what's her name?
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about, but I don't know her name. I don't remember it.
I can't remember this woman from Barrington.
Yeah.
And who was like super rich? Her like kid, they were known in the news because their kid started a small business or whatever that was like a pyramid scheme.
A multi-level marketing scheme, yeah. A pyramid scheme.
Okay.
Of like natural products, and then like they got caught embezzling or something.
Okay, so were they already rich though?
Yeah.
They
were already rich, and then they made like $1 million or $2 million off of this. And then like their like CFO went to fucking jail for fraud or some shit like that.
Like they were probably like a well-off upper middle class family that became like,
and
like
then,
really rich
and
from
then they
the
were
LLM,
like, all right, we're done with this. But let's open a restaurant.
The Andersons.
So I will say I do know somebody who went to like a female women leaders in business conference like thing that what's her name from Plant City spoke at.
Kim Anderson.
And she was like giving a speech about how, like, if you want to be successful, all you got to do is get out there and work hard and blah, blah, blah. And we started a small business and we worked hard. And it's like, you took advantage of people and scammed them. Like, you're a scam artist, pyramid scheme runner.
Also, like, I don't know if I consider.
You're trying to inspire young business. It's like, all you got to do is have $300,000 and start a pyramid scheme.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, that's all you got to do to be successful. Get like, out there, work hard.
Recently, I think they bought out Matthew Kenny because Matthew Kenny, have you heard of the Bad Vegan documentary?
No. Speak on it.
The Bad Vegan documentary is about this vegan chef who like opened a bunch of restaurants, I think in New York and shit, and then like went out of business and stole a bunch of money from the business and then like got arrested for fraud.
I've heard of this.
Matthew Kenny is name dropped in that show. And he also recently, I don't know if he got arrested or sued, but he basically set up a vegan Trump culinary school.
Is it Trump?
Yeah, like a Trump style.
Wait,
Trump university style.
Those four words in a row just threw me for a loop.
Vegan and
did
Trump.
You say vegan Trump culinary school?
Do
they make like the plant based meat like well done
solid gold tofu?
Is it just like McDonald's but vegan?
I mean, in the Trump university sense, where like it's a degree that isn't like useful for anything. And then they set up a school and a bunch of people paid their deposits, and then he canceled the school without giving people their deposits back or some shit like that.
He recently got sued.
You got my vote.
More scams. So he learned how to scam too.
Yeah. So he was scamming. That dude's crazy looking. He came in one time. He's definitely got a bunch of work done. He's like in his 50s, but his skin is just like peeled back against his fucking face. Looks like a fucking alien.
Well, so wasn't Plant City like, because it's been a while. I feel like I remember when it opened, like, it's not the first one.
No. So
in California or something like that?
So what Plant City was this guy, Matthew Kenny, had all these restaurant concepts. Bar Verde, Double Zero, which is like the Italian food. And then Newburger. And he had these in, like, California and New York and stuff. And then Kim Anderson was like, what if you took these three concepts and put them into one restaurant Providence. So that's why it's like three restaurants.
So it's like
in
the
one.
Mothership kinda.
Yeah, exactly. But now they're no longer, I think that's what I saw, is that they like bought him out of it, or
that business partnership is over.
Well, I'm trying to think of which one I'd rather have. Maybe her, just because she's Rhode Island based.
Yeah. No.
They seem like they both scamming, so. But you said working there was good.
Working there was pretty good.
It's like this is so much like our presidential elections. It's like which one of these scam artists am I going to pick that'll be less shitty for me?
For me, it's like, which one of these dementia patients am I?
Oh, he said it, y'all. That's right, y'all. He said it. He's not afraid to go there, ladies and gentlemen.
It's 2016 all over again.
Scathing political commentary.
How old are they? Joe Biden's like 81 and Trump's like 76 or something.
They're
like that.
easily 150 years old combined.
Bruh.
Definitely older than that. They're both older than 75.
I know that this was kind of a while ago now that I'm bringing it up, but like, how about those fucking videos of Mitch McConnell fucking like zoning out? Those are crazy.
What about stepping down? What about his blue hand?
Crazy.
He's stepping down. He's going to die. He's going to die soon.
Good, but like, those videos will live forever. That's fucking nuts.
His policies will live forever, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on before we get too sad.
Is that all you want to talk about with Plant City? Like, you had fun in the kitchen?
I worked in different spots in the line, and I'd like learned basically actual real knife skills there and shit. Cause like the Greek folks were not cooking right.
What do you think of Giannis Antetokounmpo? Is that how you say his last name? Did I say that right?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
The Greek freak?
Yeah.
I'm indifferent.
He likes Oreos.
He does.
Yeah, I don't watch basketball. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's okay.
I don't watch basketball.
I forgive you. He's a Greek freak.
I remember they were hyped about him, though.
Yeah.
They were hyped about the Greek freak.
They do be hyped about him. Where'd you go from Plant City?
Masa, right?
To Masa, and I was there for the past couple of years.
What made you move?
Take your time, bro.
It's good. I'm fucking stoned, boys.
Yeah. That's why you were talking quick at the beginning.
We gotta get started.
That's when you're like not stoned enough. All right, but yeah, I was working at Plant City, and then I tried Masa like one of the times he was doing a pop up, and that shit was fire.
Yeah,
that was some good tacos. And he posted something about like needing a line cook, and I was trying to make some extra money at the time. And so I was working like at Plant City X, which is like the other, like the vegan fast food Burger King.
Mm-hmm.
I worked there a little bit at the same time as I was working at Plant City. So then I transitioned to just there and then at Masa. And it was funny cause I didn't have a resume together or anything. And I was like, yo, I saw on like fucking Providence, but on Facebook. That
oh
you're
my
looking
God,
for
the greatest Facebook group of all time.
Of all time. I saw in Providence, but on Facebook, you're looking for a line cook. Like I work at Plant City, and he was like, oh, like if you can work like somewhere that busy, like you should be fine.
Nice.
And because we were just doing tacos at that point. It was pretty chill. And the cool part about it was that we got all the tips because we didn't have servers or anything like that.
That's nice.
People ordered from like the QR codes, which they fucking hated. Everyone hates the QR code ordering.
Yeah.
I understand it.
Yeah.
Like QR code. So it was QR code ordering, not just, oh, the menu's on a Q card, but it's, you then
have
like
to order,
place your order
through, yeah,
and you put your credit card information in the phone and everything.
Yes.
I can see that being slightly more annoying than the just having the QR code menu.
I don't like the menu either.
No, for sure.
I mean, I love the saving of paper and shit like that, of course you don't.
I don't know. I think sometimes like when I go out to eat, it's like I don't want to be on my phone and it's giving me a reason to take my phone out.
That is a good point.
You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
And like when I go into a place that has a cute little paper menu, I'm like, damn, that's like cute. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, I would be upset if I went to like a fine dining place and they had a QR code. Like, you know what I mean? It's,
yeah,
like taped to their table.
That would suck.
One of my favorite restaurants in Providence still does that.
What?
Paulo still has the fucking QR code menus on the table.
I don't think it's a bad thing. It's just, it depends on the kind of restaurant, you know.
But
what
yeah,
I mean?
they're like pretty. They're pretty upscale. I feel like
they're serving big vibes.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't want to do the QR code. I want to have a menu in my hand.
Yeah,
I feel that.
But that's
good card stock.
I will. But that's like my favorite spot. That's the only shit I'll talk about. Paulo, they're so good.
Yeah. Shout out.
Shout out, Paulo.
So like you just started helping John for fun over at Masa.
Yeah. And then
you liked it more and you just were like, fuck it, I'll do this.
Or? Yeah, it was pretty chill and the money was good because we got all the tips.
And it was just chill.
Yeah. We were never more than like seven people at most, but like for the most part we were working with like four people, three people. At the end, it was just me and John for like 2 months.
Savage.
Yeah. And like, I will say though, the Rock and Rye Bar was a horrible place to work out of. The
Rock and Rye Bar.
This is just like not a safe place to be a woman. Like
for real.
Like one of the like the bouncers there was like there's the head bouncer guy would just like sexually harass women all the time.
Ugh.
And
I mean,
like
I worked there the one time at the Rock and Rye. It was with you. I don't know who the fuck else works there. The whole like, I don't want to just like shit on this bar, but like the whole decorating of the place is kind of just like what the fuck's going on here?
It's like weird mix of Americana. Yeah. Like there's like flamingos with like weird things. Like
yeah,
people written
off. It kind of reminds me of what like someone in like middle school's bedroom looks like, where there's like, okay, like a random like Notorious B.I.G. poster with like a pink and gold crown or some shit on it, and like you're like, okay, this kid heard Juicy once and got this fucking poster, you know? Yeah. What I mean, like
no, like the dude would be fucking posted up out front and like it would be summertime and a woman would walk by in sandals and he would like make a comment on their fucking feet.
I mean, that's big Atwell's energy.
And I'm like, what them feets do?
But yeah, at Wells Avenue, just like as a whole, except for like Hanju / the Bobcat.
Oh, I love that place.
And like maybe like Pastiche.
Pastiche is great.
Like everything else is like mid, and also the vibes are horrible, and they love Christopher Columbus.
The vibes are awful. There are some places that I do like the food though.
Like
I fuck with Andino's.
I don't know if I've had Andino's.
I don't think I've ever been.
I would say that's probably the best like American Italian food place on the hill.
Like Venda's all right.
I was gonna say Venda.
And yeah, Venda. It's just a staple, you know. And Tony's Colonial. Like I fuck with them sandwiches. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So
that's fair, but they love Christopher Columbus and it's fucking weird.
Yeah,
it's
you know.
So strange. I thought we decided like 3 years ago that we were done celebrating Christopher Columbus.
Well, no, because that's what made them like solidify their stance and dig their heels in. You know what I mean?
You're so right.
Like it's like it's like war on Christmas. Like, like you know what I mean? Saying happy holidays made the Christmas people go extra Christmas.
Just fucking tweak.
I have a family friend that one time I fucking remember her being like, she was so like mad. She was like, happy holidays, because that's how we say it now. Just like out of the blue, you know.
Like she was just waiting for someone to say it, and
like,
no
like,
one did.
Like you know, I.
It's like how like, much it was rage like, do you have pent up
yeah,
inside of you?
It was like
you,
one of my mom's friends, and we were like leaving or something, and it was like around Christmas time, and we were saying bye, and I think like my mom probably said Merry Christmas or something, and she was just like Happy Holidays or whatever we're supposed to say now.
Whatever the woke
like,
mom says.
Like, you didn't have to make any comments, lady. Like you know what I mean. Calm down. I know it's a stressful month to get through.
Oh boy.
Oof. Oh, man. But yeah, like he made like sexual comments to my girlfriend one time as she was walking out.
Not cool.
And then was like, "Oh shit, you're the line cook's girlfriend. I'm so sorry. I would never do that to my boy."
Like she's property. Yeah, that,
exactly. Yeah.
Crime wouldn't be against her. It would be against
like,
you.
But if you guys broke up, I would totally do it again.
But no, I feel like that's, and people told us all the time in our comments and shit, they're like, "We love your food, but we don't want to come to that bar."
Yeah.
And they just like wouldn't fire that guy. Crazy.
Also,
crazy.
Like, not gonna, maybe I'll end up bleeping it out or whatever, but like, that building has some.
That's a horrible racking. Just 1.5 rats.
It's like a rat duke or count.
Oh my God. But the truck was really fun to fucking work on.
The truck was really fun to work on.
The truck was fucking awesome. And I feel like, you know, we've talked about the bear on the show, but the first time I worked with this fucking kid, he's just making fun of John at the same time. He's like, "You're Carmy. This is the bear, John." Like, the truck broke down. Like, this is just like the bear. You just talk
guys,
about
it's
how-
like we're the bear.
Yeah, I was just saying shit like, "Yo, this is exactly like the bear, but if they made tacos, bro."
I would have loved that bit.
I mean, it seems like John, like, Masa was so, like, heavy and funny on social media that anytime, like, things went bad, it was like, "Oh, shit, this is kind of funny. Like, all right, like, his truck's breaking down on the way to this, like, catering event or whatever," and then like another story comes out. It's like, "We're back up and good." Like, we'll be there.
Got that shit. Yeah.
It's so funny.
That would happen
it's just
all
like a,
the
it's
time.
Just like a dope saga. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. The fucking truck was a saga. That's a good word for it.
It's gotta be tough to invest in a food truck, man, because they're like so gnarly.
Yeah.
You know.
It was so pretty too. It was such a pretty truck.
Yeah, paint job's fire. Our stickers on that bitch.
Of course. What will become of it now?
I don't know. He'll probably get, if he sells it, like, good money for it.
Hopefully.
I don't know. I mean, my car's not worth shit, so, but.
You can't cook out of your car.
I could figure it out.
Get a fucking grill plate in the back.
It's air fryer.
They're those dudes that cook shit in like hotel.
That guy is hilarious.
The birria guy that cooks it in the fucking.
He does all toilet. Kinds of shit. Yeah, he cooks in the sink of all. He goes at like every night to a different like shitty hotel, and then he just fucking makes like fucking soup, French onion soup, in like the sink by like clogging the drain.
It's so ridiculous.
He did
it's
it on an airplane. He took a fucking he took a sous vide machine out of his fucking backpack. How do you get on a plane with that?
Because they don't know what it is, and then he has like a bunch of 3 ounce bottles of water that he's jumping into a pot. Dude, that guy, everybody always grosses, is like, so gross, but it's like, that's the point. It's perfect, because it's like,
it's disgusting,
funny,
but it's masterful.
It's funny, it's skillful, because it's like, you're pulling it off with nothing, and also, like, it's great rage bait, because people get so mad about how nasty it is. Like,
it is so gross to watch, though. It's
yeah,
so
but
bad.
That's why it's, like, entertaining, and it's just like,
it's like
you're not
going to
complain
gross.
At pimple popping videos for being gross. It's like, that's
yes,
why we're
I
all
fucking
here.
Will. I've done
it. But it's
not,
like, then why are you watching it? Like, you know,
okay,
I mean,
freak.
We're here for it.
Some people get trapped into watching things.
Yeah, but the reason you're watching is because it's interesting.
One of the things I hate the worst is when someone sends me a video that like looks like it's going to be something I love. You're like, oh, this is going to be like a funny, like, you know, interaction video or whatever. And it's like someone breaking their ACL. And then I'm just like,
yeah,
trauma.
You don't do well with those things.
Yeah, I don't. So, I mean, let's get into that.
The meme that was popular like last year was like I forget what song it was, but it was like a song in Spanish, and then like it'd be a recipe, and then it would like cut to like dudes making out, and then it would go back to the recipe. You remember that one?
No.
I didn't see that, but
fuck.
Yeah, that sounds like targeted advertising or something. So the truck was that the highlight of Masa, you would say? Were your truck days?
Yeah, the truck days were fun.
Do you have any particularly memorable events that you guys went out and did?
I feel like the like neighborhood in Warwick One was just like so surreal that I did with him.
You think it was so surreal?
Yeah, just like it was weird being in this like suburb with the food truck, because like usually we're at like
a waterfront or a spot where there's a lot of food trucks and stuff like that.
Yeah, or like a spot that like it makes sense for a food truck to. I feel like it's just weird for a food truck to pull up to someone's
like a residential neighborhood,
like a residential neighborhood in Warwick that's doing like they shut down the street for a block party. It was like.
Yeah, and it was kind of, it was weird too because I think I remember like.
They were serving their own free food, so nobody really came to get food from us.
Yeah, and there was that like, didn't whoever like booked it or whatever, they put down like a certain amount of money and they were like, okay, from like 4 to 6, like we're going to just be giving the food out for free until you hit like $500 of. You know what I mean? Like ring it in, but don't charge people. I think, John, we were doing something like that. And then it was just like, some people didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And like, it just became like awkward interaction.
Wait, so they were trying to give you money and you guys were like, no? Or some people didn't know that it was free, so they didn't like want to come up? Like,
I think maybe that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you weren't coming up because people were like, oh, I'm not paying $6.
It was mostly like, I feel like I remember it, you know what I mean? Like, the guy did it so the kids could just like eat for free. So it was mostly us just like giving tacos to kids and their moms and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I feel like most of the people didn't even come down during that time frame that it was like free taco time.
The weirdest spot I pulled up with the food truck was like, it wasn't even the food truck. It was like a mobile, like we had like a mobile catering thing as well.
Like a unit?
Like a flat top, like a portable flat top and like tables. And we would like bring that to events sometimes. And I did this event where we were catering like some random party on like an orchard that like, it was like so weird and country. And then we had to like pull through like a field to get to it. And we were are we about to get like
on some cult shit?
Yeah, I was like, this is kind of spooky. Where was it? It was like on an orchard in like Scituate.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
up there in the boonies.
You know.
And what was the event?
It was some old man's birthday party.
Hmm. Yeah, that's weird.
There was like some country singer, songwriter guy.
You find out he's like 130. And it just becomes like, I don't know, like midsummer or some shit. Like,
yeah,
that,
it's,
you know,
it's like actually a stuffed corpse.
Yeah. You open the door to some barn and there's like 15 women just going, like, oh, fuck. All right. I guess we're setting up the tacos. That one we did, the wedding was fucking sick.
The wedding was pretty cool. Yeah, that was fun.
You were on the truck. I was like shucking inside, but it was like a wedding at Alchemy and like, or well, after party, right? Yeah.
Yeah, wedding. I think it was a wedding after party.
Is there a name for that?
The reception.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Reception.
Thank you.
Sorry.
It's our wedding expert over here.
Well, you know.
Sorry. It's been like a year or so since I've been to one, so I got to get back on my wedding shit.
Yeah, we just recorded our wedding episode.
What was I going to say?
Probably there was like live music that you shucked hella oysters that night.
250, son.
250.
That's a lot. How many times did you stab your palm?
Not really a lot.
Did you have the chainmail glove?
I think I only broke, no, but I had like a glove. I think I only broke skin like once.
Nice.
Yeah. And it was like right in the beginning. Once you get past like oyster 50, it's easy.
Yeah, you're just like, okay, I got it.
But they was eating them shits.
Oysters are good, man.
They really are. So are the accoutrements. So are the accoutrements.
Accoutrements?
I fucking love cocktail sauce.
Yeah, you do.
Fucking get downs with the cocktail sauce.
You're a whore for horseradish?
I really am.
Do you fuck with like shrimp etouffee and shit like that? Like you fuck with like Cajun shit?
I don't really like shrimp that much.
You don't like
shrimp? Is that a hot take?
Yeah, that like, sucks for you, man.
Yeah, I don't.
Not even like a scampi?
No, it's not that I don't like shrimp. I don't think it's that great.
I went to New Orleans recently. It was pretty, had some pretty fucking good food.
Yeah. Shrimp
good beverages, good fucking shrimp.
Speak on it.
I had some frog legs, some fried frog legs. Nice. Pretty fucking good.
And I wasn't too into them.
They're just like flimsy little chicken wings.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
But had, like, I feel like every bar there, well, no, I won't say that. I feel like half the bars there are really fucking good, make good cocktails, and the other half of the bars are Captain Seaweed's.
Yeah. say
less. Or what's the other one that's like up on Westminster? The Scurvy Dog.
Oh yeah, Scurvy Dog. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast or I was just talking to someone about it recently, but like Providence has like a weird obsession with New Orleans.
You think so?
Yeah. Like there in the past too, there have been so many bars here where like they're going for like a New Orleans dive bar vibe. Like that's, and there's so many, like when Fat Tuesday happens, everyone's doing specials in Providence. Or like everyone's doing fucking the Po' Boys. And I feel like, I don't know, it's weird. I also know a lot of people that were Providence people that transplanted to New Orleans. And like a lot of people from New Orleans have transplanted here. So I feel like there's just like a weird connection.
Who Dat Nation?
That's interesting. You know, you're right. Sorry.
When you're right, you're right.
Well, you're right, you're right.
But like those examples right there, even Scurvy Dog and Captain Seaweed, you could totally transplant those bars into New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. There's also this diner in South County that has like randomly occasion theme. And
which one? Bluebird?
Bluebird.
Yeah. Bluebird's great.
Bluebird's really good.
Love Bluebird. It's
pretty good.
My mom loves the Bluebird, so I go there pretty often.
It's everything you want in like a greasy spoon diner, like, you know.
And it's also got like kind of Cajun food. Yo, have you guys had Johnny Cakes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found out about Johnny Cakes like kind of recently. They're pretty good.
They're bomb.
I'm not a fan.
Not a fan?
They're too like gritty. Yeah.
How do you like your eggs?
Depends how I'm having them.
How do you like them on Johnny Cakes?
On Johnny Cakes, I'd probably go like over medium.
Over medium? You got to go over easy.
Yeah, I mean, you know I wouldn't be opposed to over easy. That's not a problem.
Are you guys like Yoki boys?
I know what you mean about, I like ordering over medium because I'm like, I don't want it to be like, because I remember when I would make over easy eggs, I'm like, this egg is on the flat top for 13 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about it this way.
I like runny. Like,
if I'm making the eggs, I could tell you like the percentage of yolk cook that I would prefer.
My favorite way would be poached. Like I do like runny. Like
I order over medium because if they fail one way or the other, you know what I mean?
You're okay with it.
Like if I order over easy and I get fried egg, I'm not going to be that happy. And if I order fried egg and I get over easy, I'm not going to be that happy. Where if I just order over medium and they slightly fuck up either way, I'll be like, whatever, it's fine. But if I'm making the egg, I'm probably cooking that yolk like, I don't know, 35%.
All right. That's respectful. That's respectable.
Maybe 40.
I feel like I like poached eggs the most, but like if I'm going to a place like Bluebird Cafe, or like a greasy spoon diner, I'm getting like scrambled with American cheese. Like, you know what I mean? I'm going greasy diner.
There ain't nothing wrong with that, bro.
You know what I mean?
That's also like I get scrambled eggs if I'm getting like hash.
Yeah, that's what.
Because
yeah.
They mix well. You
know that's fair. That's fair. I just love breaking the yolk over the potatoes and shit.
Yeah.
You know?
It's okay. Good stuff.
I'm an over easy guy.
I love that about you.
Thanks. Thanks. But yeah, I recently got a job not cooking, which is weird. It's like a 9-to-5.
Congratulations.
Yeah, you're out.
I'm out.
Out of the game.
I'm going to miss some things. I'm going to miss like, I'm going to miss and not miss doing drugs at work because I can't do drugs at work anymore.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like it probably wasn't good for me that I could smoke weed and drink and like do mushrooms on the job.
Yeah.
But also, like, I definitely shouldn't have been doing mushrooms on the job.
Yeah, bro. It's a little extreme.
Just like microdosing, except the problem with microdosing is really, really, really easy to overdo it.
Yeah.
Microdosing
is totally a spectrum. When someone's like, yeah, I've been microdosing, I'm like, I don't know what that means because it could be fucking anything. It's different for different. Some people are just like, yeah, I'm just going to eat a cap every day.
You ever see
microdosing?
The,
like, that's not really.
You ever see the movie Another Round with Mads Mikkelsen?
No.
It's a movie. It's like a European movie. It's about these group of like, I think they're like teachers or professors or something. And they come up with this scheme that they're like, everyone is a better person on like a 2-drink buzz or something like that. And so like the thing is to, their idea is to like microdose alcohol basically and be like, you should constantly go through life with your blood alcohol at like a 0.04 or something like that. Like it's like you should always have a 1-drink buzz, but then of course it doesn't go.
Well, what are they, my dad? That's the my dad isn't about Bud Light alcoholic, but that's the Bud Light alcoholic lifestyle.
Trust me, your words are hitting close to home. The people that want to just maintain a 0.04 like all waking life.
So how long does how long does it last in the movie before it goes awry? It
spirals out of control. It's great.
It sounds like a fucking It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I think they're
episode.
Like remaking it like an American version, but. Anyway,
no, I was like microdosing for a little while at work. One day, though, I was working at this spot for like a few weeks. Then it just didn't end up working out because
you're on mushrooms.
No, it was just like for some reason they thought it'd be a good idea to hire me and like one of the only other people that worked at Masa to do like side work. But then like.
The schedules
obviously didn't fucking work. It's like being in a band with someone that you also work with.
Yeah.
Which I also did for a little bit. Nice. And that shit just doesn't work out. It's like, no, we can't play a Friday or Saturday night ever.
Yeah, ever.
Ever.
And when else are there gigs? Like,
yeah. Well, I've played so many fucking Monday, Tuesday, yeah. Wednesday night gigs.
It's all about Thursday gigs, bro. Thursday gigs, fuck.
Thursday gigs, fuck.
Okay, Thursday's the new Friday.
Thursday's the new Friday,
y'all
absolutely.
Heard it here first, okay.
But yeah, I was working at this spot and I was took like a half a cap, maybe like 3/4 of a cap. And everything was going good. I was feeling good, and then I was sweeping up and a little mouse fucking ran by me and they were like, "Oh shit, kill it." So I smacked it with the broom.
Oh, brutal.
And I like smacked it with the broom once and it wasn't fucking dead yet. It was just like twitching on the floor. So I smacked it again and it was still alive. So I smacked it again and I started crying.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's right. I was like, no, it was fucking brutally murdered this mouse.
That's, right. That's terrible.
And it bad vibes for like the rest of the day. And I was like, I can't do drugs like that at work.
Anymore. Yeah, it's a traumatic experience if you're sober.
In case you have to kill a mouse, that's the reasoning.
I had to take a life today. Remy, no!
No!
Should we get into it?
What are we getting into?
Well, I was going to say we should get into the age-old questions.
Yeah, well, I mean, you mentioned like the oil fight, but like, what's some like injuries you've seen or... happened to you?
There was this one time this person came into Plant City that like I think it was like a freshman at JWoo. No. This person was like, what's the name of the high school that has like the culinary program here?
Is it like the Met?
Yeah.
It's like a special school.
Yeah. There's like a Met student here. And like she had said she had knife skills. So someone like
this was at Masa or Plant City?
No, Plant City. Okay. We would get like Met people and like fucking mad JWoo people all the time.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, they JWoo kids suck.
Speak on it.
No, I feel like JWoo kids never do as well as the people who've just been working in restaurants for a long time, which makes sense, but they are often not that way about it.
I think, yeah, we've talked about it before where it's like, you know, you can't learn the savagery in like a school setting. And it's like you can learn all this, you know, skill in a school setting. And then like, can you deal with someone like berating you while tickets are piling up? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a very different world than the real world. And I feel like a lot of culinary students get a job at a real restaurant and they're like, oh, this isn't what I was expecting. I thought I was going to have unlimited time to make every dish as perfect as I can and like just dot the basil oil just so when I'm plating. And,
right,
know?
Right.
And it's like, no, you have to crank it the fuck out. And yeah. like, you know.
You got
to
lock the fuck in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really with the people saying locked in.
Yeah.
But anyway, this girl was not locked in. She cut herself like 6 times until someone was like, who is continuing to give her back this knife after the second cut?
Yeah.
You cut yourself once, shit happens.
Yeah.
Pretty resilient, though, to keep going back.
I think it was like it was 4 or 5 times that she
chopping
cut it. Chopping
up her fucking hand.
Yeah, just... that's a vegan restaurant. We don't...
get the blood out of here.
Yeah.
Not that's vegan the
first,
anymore.
Like the first piece of meat that knife has chopped to someone's hand.
Oh, that man. Is pretty that, funny yeah, how
that's pretty rough.
In a vegan restaurant, the only meat that a knife ever sees it's is people's human. Fingers.
Yeah. Also, I listened to what Trent said about like how he sugarcoated it a little bit about how they are about non-vegan food. They would throw your food away in front of you if you brought non-vegan food into the kitchen.
Really?
They threw away people's food. Like, I saw that more than one time. They, like,
took if some, you if were you like, I in. Made chili, and I'm bringing it in to have myself for dinner.
Or if you got Dunkin', and you have, like a couple donuts in a bag, or, like, you have a fucking sausage, egg, and cheese in a bag. I've watched them throw out someone's breakfast. I'm like...
And be mad about it. Be like, who the fuck brought this in here?
Yeah. Or like go up like, and be like, you can't bring this food in here. And instead of telling them to go outside with it, throwing it in the trash.
I can understand being like, I'm the owner and I want to be able to tell our customers that we are 100% vegan and that nothing that isn't vegan comes into it. Like, I could get that, but like throwing it away, like, come on.
Yeah, well, also, let them eat it outside or.
Yeah, just be like, hey, we don't do this here. Go finish it outside and don't do it again.
I've also worked places where it wasn't like not allowed to bring your own food, but like it was kind of like discouraged a little bit because it's like, yo, like if a bunch of people bring in Dunkin', right? Like example here, and the day goes on and like you're working like a busy shift, that bag of Dunkin' might just like sit there and like not get eaten. And then it's just like trash, just like chilling. You know what I mean?
I guess that's fair, but that was not like
the situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Like I've worked at places where like someone brings in food from like, I'm just using Dunkin' as an example here, Dunkin'. And like eat some of it, and then we like get going, and it, like they go and put it in the walk-in, and then it's sitting there in the walk-in, and then like
it's there 3 days later,
or like a day later, and it's like, all right, well now I'm just throwing this out.
Well, that's
like,
reasonable because it's a day later, but that's brutal. Fucking no meat allowed on premises. Allowed, that's man. Pretty.
What about intense. Like? I mean, I'm gonna just say at Masa because I guess anywhere you've worked, but like, what about like the worst? Or best people you've had to deal with,
yeah, like customer
wise, like,
telling someone that they had to stop yelling at me on the phone, or I was gonna hang up was always fun.
So it happened multiple times.
Yeah, at Hope Street Pizza, especially once we got like those delivery apps, like those delivery apps fucking suck.
Like DoorDash and shit.
Yeah, like they bring you business, but then they also bring you so much fucking bullshit.
And they take such a fucking huge percent.
They take a huge percent, and like this, and sometimes they take a literal percent. This lady was like yelling at us on the phone, and she was screaming. She was like, "How? Why is it that this order was $27 and I had to? Oh, I got the seafood platter and it was missing two of the shrimp and like it looked like there was no fries." And we were like, "That's crazy. I'm sorry that that happened." And I was like, "You know what probably happened is the DoorDash person probably took some of it and ate it."
Yeah.
On the way there, because like we gave you the amount of food, because first they got mad and like reordered it because it came to them cold. And then the second time they ordered and they were mad about that. And the second time the DoorDash person came to pick it up, they definitely ate some of that shit.
Yeah.
Because we looked at that shit. Also, you can't get mad if delivery food comes in cold.
I kind of respect that.
Yeah, like, you can't.
Especially if you're not ordering pizza. I mean, yeah, pizza or food that's meant to be delivered. You know, like,
yeah.
If you're ordering pizza, it's totally fine to be mad that it's cold because it's like you have pizza bags, the hot bags that, like, we all know how to deliver pizza and what we're supposed to do. But, you know, with something like DoorDash, it's like if you're getting a burger and a salad, you know, it's like you're not keeping them. But, like,
but the
you can't be mad.
Yeah.
It's not meant to travel.
The best part was she was yelling at me, and I'm like, ma'am, I'm so sorry, but, like, I can barely hear you anymore, how loud you're yelling. The guy goes, ma'am, I'm not a fucking woman. And I was like, oh my God.
No.
Yeah, that set that person over the edge.
What are you talking about?
Wait, I'm not a woman. Like, oh my God, that episode of Seinfeld.
Yeah,
I know exactly. Oh my God!
That character of Seinfeld.
Yeah. Let me think. One of the best people in every kitchen was the person that grew weed, because every place I've ever worked, there's been one guy that grows fire fucking weed.
I know exactly what you mean.
Every single fucking place I've ever worked. Like, which I guess isn't that many.
It's just your odds. It's like 10% of kid. Or okay, let's think about it.
Well, it's just growing is so much more prominent now, where it's just like you can get everything you need on fucking Amazon delivered to your front door, and there's YouTube videos that'll walk you through it and shit. Like, it's like easier than it's ever been, and more legal than it's ever been.
But true, it's also true. It's different to, like, be able to grow weed and to, like, be a savage about it.
Yeah, to,
like,
be
fucking really, really good at, because I mean, like, I know the difference because I've grown my own weed and
it's hard.
It's not great. And yeah, it's hard. And then, like, I see other people whose names I won't drop grow weed that I'm like,
you know who you are.
Like, you should be in a magazine. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, this is
shouts out to the growers out there.
This is the best stuff I've ever had. Shout out Rhode Island weed.
Yeah.
Shout out Rhode Island weed.
Yeah, that shit rules.
You always know when you're getting fucking mids ships from, like, fucking California or
New York. Low key, like, I fucking love New York more than anything, but New York weed's kind of trash.
Maine weed, though, pretty good.
I like the Maine weed.
Watch it, though. It's really unregulated up there. Well, Rhode Island's kind of the same way.
Isn't it kind of just unregulated everywhere?
No. It's very strict testing.
In Massachusetts?
Guidelines in most places, yeah. In Rhode Island, you don't even have to test for, like, pesticides and shit. I think recently it might have changed.
How many states is it legalized in now? Like 9?
Way more than that.
I think it's more than that, yeah.
More than 9.
It's probably more like 9 that it's still illegal in. You know what I mean? Like, fully
interesting.
Like, the ones where it's, like, that have no medical, no nothing.
The weed in Arizona wasn't that good.
Well, they're newer to the game, you know. It's, like, it depends.
It was cheap, though. It was cheap.
It depends.
Well, you're getting all that weed from over the border.
It was cheap. It was cheaper there than it was here.
Which was tight. Damn cheap up here now.
I mean, yeah.
But the coke was really good.
Compared to, like, high school, yeah, I wouldn't know.
The blow was sick in Arizona.
No, it's funny, at Plant City, I don't know why, I made one joke about, like, oh, I got to go skiing in the bathroom. I've never done coke. I'm all set putting stuff up my nose. Mm-hmm. I'm always stuffed up anyway. But I made one or two jokes, probably a couple more, about, like, oh, I'm going to go skiing in the bathroom. And I was always stuffed up all the time. So they actually thought I was...
They're like, you're the most lethargic cocaine. You're slow as fuck still. I don't get it. Like Jimmy, he's like, yeah, uppers are downers to me. Coke puts me right to fucking sleep.
That's fucking...
Alcohol, I'm up all night.
I mean, alcohol, I am up
all
night.
Yeah, it's all sugar.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Anywho.
Got any other stories you want to share?
Any other pearls of wisdom? Any other thoughts on the Greek population?
I can't talk any more shit about Greek people. I end up on a list.
Yeah.
Let me think on it.
What kind of list?
Fucking Republican primary candidates.
Oh, like the Greek People Defense League.
Right.
So, Nico, thanks for coming on.
It's been real juicy.
Great stories.
Thank you for having me.
Gonna think twice about my next European vacation planning.
Yeah,
I'm guess I might just go to Turkey now. Do you want to plug anything before we get out of here?
I'm in a couple bands.
Let's go.
Dog Walker just released a demo, some hardcore punk shit, and then I also do some folk punk shit called Rat Snake. I'm on Instagram and stuff.
Fuck brunch. Fuck all you hungover dicks and fuck brunch. Fuck all your eggs and a dicks and fuck brunch.
Yeah, maybe I'll edit some of the music in or something.
Hell yeah, hell yeah.
You on streaming platforms like SoundCloud or Spotify?
On Bandcamp, and then the folk punk shit is on like Spotify and shit.
Nice.
Bandcamp goes hard.
Bandcamp does go hard, except I feel like recently they got like acquired by some big company. It's probably going to suck.
Yeah, definitely.
Datpiff.com?
100%.
Datpiff.
Datpiff, you can still download Datpiff app and listen to old mixtapes.
Yeah.
I've done it. I just want to let everyone know that.
Shouts out to Datpiff.
I just gave everyone a pro tip for life that Datpiff is still around. But
the YouTube to MP3 shit is still around.
Facts. Yeah. It's like, I don't know, as someone that is still downloading illegal music, but it'll change because the website will get reported and then someone will just build the same website and it'll be like red font instead of blue. Yeah. Like some shit like that. That'll never die. Motherfuckers need to be stealing that shit.
Absolutely.
How many videos do you think are on YouTube?
Oof. It boggles the mind.
100 million.
Millions.
Let's look it up.
Nah, let's leave it.
You can look it
some
up.
Some things are best left unknown. Yeah,
we can't handle the truth.
Do your own research.
Anyway, Nico, thank you so much. I'm Max Messier Richter.
I'm Dan Connor.
I'm Nico Chase.
And this is the Rags Edition Podcast.
I know I'm a hypocrite, 'cause I'm hungover too. I just wanna leave this kitchen, eat out there with you. Yeah, fuck brunch. Fuck all your overstuffed bellies and fuck brunch. Fuck your $15 Bloody Marys and fuck brunch. I know I'm a hypocrite, 'cause I wanna day drink too. Instead I'll sweat out this hangover, make some food for you. Yeah, fuck brunch. Fuck brunch.